Thanks for joining us on our LWCCBP podcast. We hope that today's message ministers to you. Today we're going to hear a message from our senior pastor, Pastor Ruben Reyna. Let's jump into our word.
Bless you. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. I want to congratulate Christina and Heinz. They've been married today 56 years. Wow. That's a long time. Right behind you. I know how you feel. Yes. We have Rudy back there, and he's going into surgery pretty soon, so we're going to pray for him and believe God that he's going to come out good. Then Peter is also going to surgery for a hernia, so we're going to pray for him too, that God just takes care of him and helps him, that God will use that doctor to do it well. Yeah. Amen. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. I want to minister just a little bit on the of allowing your mind to change the way you think. The way you think. Because we used to think pretty bad. And it takes time for God to renew your mind. He has to renew your mind, and sometimes it takes a while. People are looking for a fast change. Sometimes it happens real fast. Other times it happens in a process of time, because you don't know what happened to you when you really, really got saved. And Paul put it right on when he said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Conform from this world. See, I believe that God gets you from the world, saves you, but then we got to clean you up. Can you say amen to that? The Lord gets you out of the world, saves you, but then your mind has to be renewed. And that takes time. Tell your neighbor, that takes time. Because some of us are pretty messed up mentally. Really messed up sometimes. So our character and our personality has been shaped by the way we think. Our character and our personality have been shaped by the way we think. You were brought up in a certain household, like the Bible doesn't lie. It says every seed will produce after its own kind. So if you were brought up in a very good home, you that is projected to you, and all of a sudden you start moving in the same direction that your parents brought you up. Because that is the seed after its own kind. But if you have parents that were not all there, and they would love to party, well, guess what? The whole family likes to party. Why? Because you produce after your own kind. I've met people that tell me, well, my dad was a drunk, my great-grandfather was a drunk, and grandma was a drunk, and great-grandma liked tequila, and she just passed it all down to us. And guess what? We like tequila, and we like the worm inside of the tequila. And they are, you know, it looks like the same family, because it is what it is, and the seed produces after its own kind. And they're not conscious that they're doing that. It just produces after its own kind. So whatever is programmed inside of our mind is printed out by our actions. By our actions. That's why if you were a lowrider, you still got that lowrider thing. If you were a good person, you have that character. If you were homeless, you still have that character, and it takes time to cross over because everything has been printed in our minds. So what needs to be transformed is our mind. Our mind. Our mind, it is so powerful. Some of us are sitting here today and you think you cannot do certain things. Maybe I'll ask you, I want you to preach. Some of you will say, I can't even talk. You throw a Moses on me. And God can transform. When it transforms the mind, God can, you can hear yourself like a theologian. Because God takes hold of your mind and transforms it. Transforms it. So whatever you see with your eyes and whatever environment and whatever you're hearing is going to translate out of your life. Out of your life. So we have to be very careful what comes into our minds. Because our minds pick up every single thing. I remember Stella used to tell me, I would tell her, you need to speak to the ladies, but I can't. I just can't. I told Stella, you're so educated. You're amazing. Your writing is amazing. Your shorthand. When you wanted to cuss me out, you wrote it in shorthand. I didn't even know what that was. So I just said, okay. I mean, that now she's transformed. And I remember hearing her when she was teaching the women. She was nervous, all the action, but she took the step of faith. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Not by the way we feel, not by the way we think. We sometimes just have to launch out by faith. And we start in little steps, but we accomplish very much. So now, I mean, Sister Stella's got that gift of teaching all the time, you know, and her smooth voice is like a fountain. And so we have to take our steps of faith and quit making excuses because your mind is dictating what you cannot do. Remember the 11th commandment, thou shalt not be stupid after knowing all 10. So the majority of the problems are rooted in the way we think. Well, my marriage will never make it. You're thinking wrong. My wife will never change. You're thinking wrong. Your wife will be the exact image of what you project as a man. She will change because of the way you're running your home. When you run your home properly, there's a spirit that all of a sudden hits your wife because they want to do what's right because they are the weaker vessel. They want to follow a leader. They want a leader. They don't want somebody. Some men want their wives to lead. No. God made you a leader. You lead. You know, I've seen men where the wife says, where are we going? I don't know. And do you know that's the most frustrating thing for a woman when you don't know? You're the leader. At least say, I'm going to the French restaurant Jacques on the Box. Yeah. But lead. For heaven's sakes, lead. If you're going to take her out, get yourself a restaurant, and when she tells you, where are you taking me? Well, first of all, we're going to the movies. No, first of all, we're going to the movies, and then I'm taking you out to a good dinner. Guess what? She's going to light up like a candle. Amen. This man cares for me. This man is romantic. This man is taking me out. And no, and she won't say it, but inside of her subconscious, she's saying, I got me a leader. I got me a man. See, all the ladies just clapped. You're very wise, ladies. Time to clap. They can't do nothing. Time to clap. So your thinking has to change. The same way with coming to the Lord. You come to the Lord, okay, he saves you, but now you gotta go through a process, okay, I'm born again, but now you gotta go through the process of letting God change you. And you're gonna have to make a choice. I'm going to allow God to change me. Because if you don't make that choice, nothing is going to happen. You're just gonna have a tap of the Holy Ghost. But that's as far as you're going to go. And by the time 20 years pass by, you're going to look like a midget. Spiritually, a tiny little dude talking. Hasn't grown up, still has a nipple in his mouth and a security blanket. And hasn't grown up in the things of God. And hasn't, his mind has not been transformed and renewed. Renewed. When your mind starts getting renewed, everything, anywhere you go, the environment begins to change, because now you are the target of wherever you're at. You do everything by thinking before you do it. I'm going to win me some souls. I'm thinking. I'm going to my family. How can I win some souls there? I know how Tia Concha acts. I like that Sister Smith acts. And Brother Baba, how he acts. But, I am thinking how I can get him safe. And I am projecting a strategy in my mind already to make it happen. Because my mind has been renewed. But if you just go to a household just to say hi and bye, then that means your mind has not been transformed. Oh, it's getting quiet now. And we must learn how to think the way he thinks. He thinks. And by learning those ways, it's going to take time. Say it with me. It's going to take time. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because some people start off real fast and then they get disappointed because they didn't accomplish it. It's going to take time. Tell your neighbor, it's going to take time, neighbor. That doesn't give you an excuse to be a turtle. It's just going to take time. It's going to take time. So we need the word to change us. To change us. Listen to me. Before I go any further, in your body there is blood. The blood is the life of your body. Am I correct? But you have, the blood is the most, Anthony helped me with that, I said it this morning, keep going. You might hit it by accident. I'm okay. Oh, the most intelligent thing you have in your body. The most intelligent thing you have in your body. Because when you go to the doctor, they tell you, how are you and all that, and you say your symptoms. And they say this, let me check your blood. Because your symptoms are not correct. Once they check your blood, they know everything about you. Yeah. Every single thing about you. That's why the Bible talks in Genesis that Abel was killed by Cain, and that the blood cried out to God that Cain killed him. It was the blood that spoke. Come on, somebody, the blood speaks. Amen. The blood speaks. And the Bible says in 1 John, and you can read it, or maybe they can put it up, 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. They're going to put it up there. And is it up there? Listen to this. There are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. The blood is very what? What was the word?
Intelligent.
Thank you. You're listening to me. Intelligent. Living in a dumb person. Living in a dumb person. Am I correct? Okay, we agree. Just like the scripture says, we agree. I was sick, and the reason why I'm talking about this, it was last night, I was under a lot of pain, and it was all right here, and I felt like if somebody was twisting my muscles, or something was twisting my muscles. And I remember the scripture, and I remember what I just told you. And I remember that I have blood in my system, and that is the most intelligent thing in my system, is the blood. So I started saying, if the Spirit bears witness, and the blood bears witness, and what else?
Water.
And water bears witness, which you've got a lot of water.
Yeah.
And I have the Spirit of God, I should not be weak. Listen to me. I should not be weak, but I should direct the blood to the place that I'm hurting in. And in the name of Jesus, instead of directing my blood of worrying what's going to happen to me, I am directing the blood and the blood of Christ and the water and the Spirit to fight for me in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
To fight for me in the name of Jesus. So all of a sudden, I felt the glory of God just come on my body. And something happened to my side. It just left. It disappeared. But because my whole mind, everything that was living inside me, that blood that speaks, I directed it as an intelligent creature to where I was hurting in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. But I had to educate my mind. I had to change the way I think and believe that I was directing the healing power over to the place where I was hurting. Instead of saying, oh, I'm hurting so bad. Yeah, I was hurting so bad, but I said, man, there's got to be something here that I can do. And I did it, and it worked. It worked. Because I believe that the blood is the most intelligent thing you have on the inside of you.
Amen.
On the inside of you, plus Jesus inside of you, the Spirit of God inside of you, and the name of Jesus that you can speak it out. So it's taken me time to understand that. So every day we're walking from glory to glory, He's changing me. That's what the scripture says in Corinthians. From glory to glory, He's changing me. So that means, church, listen to me. We are a supernatural church.
Amen.
Why? Because we serve a supernatural God. Nobody could get us here in one place at the same time with different backgrounds. Only the Spirit of God could get us here. So we serve an amazing God. Can you say amen? An amazing God. So your mind has to get, you have to get saved. Your mind has to get saved. And God has to sharpen your life. And He is the only one that can transform your mind after so many years of living in a defeated way. So we need a complete change this morning. My car, when it starts, you know when the car, when you need a change of oil, you could almost feel it in the power. Am I correct? Well, sometimes we need to change the oil in our lives. We can't run on the old oil. We need some fresh oil. We need some fresh glory. because we can't run in the same oil. We're not there. 20 years have passed and we're not the same today. Why? Because something is changing in us. And thank God for church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So certain things change immediately, like God. We know that there's a real God. And like sin, we know that there's a real sin. And then like hell, we know that there's a real hell and that there's a real world. Those are same things. But we can't stay there. Some people want to live always in sin, sin, sin. No. How about living for the Son? His name is Jesus. How about living for the Son? Some people are always preaching on sin, sin, sin. Hey, listen, I don't want to live in a sin conscience because I'm not living there no more. I want to live in a Son conscience because He's the one that saved me. So He wants me to learn how to live like Jesus, the Son of God. Am I making sense here? Most things work out in the process of time. And sometimes other things just take time because we're slow in getting it. But once we get it, everything starts evolving, evolving, evolving. We do not want to waste time. Want to waste time. How many here want to waste time in your job? You don't want to waste time, right? And at home, you don't want to waste time, right? Right. So we don't want to waste time. So in the spiritual sense of us, we cannot waste time in learning what God is all about. And the sooner we get there and the more sensitive we become to the Spirit of God, the better we feel about our salvation. There ain't nobody here perfect. And if you are, you just destroyed the church. I have not met nobody perfect. Not even me. Nobody. Doesn't that feel good to know that there is nobody perfect? There's somebody mature, but not perfect. Okay. So we have to let the Word of God work in us. The Bible says this in John 15, verse 3. 15, verse 3. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Woo! Come on, everybody read it. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word, when it speaks, it begins to wash you. It begins to clean you. How many have ever come in dirty, man? You had a bad day. You come to church and thank God for the Holy Spirit. It might have been just one word because it starts scrubbing you down. It begins to clean your life and you start feeling better about yourself. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 26, listen to this. That He might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. Come on, let's read it again. That He might sanctify, cleanse it with washing of the water by the word. So the more word we get, the more cleaner we get. God starts scrubbing down your thinking. God starts scrubbing down your spirit, your human spirit, and allows you to start depending more on the Spirit of God than on yourself. When you do that, everything, you might look like crazy, but you gotta use common sense. When I get in my car, I said, Lord, protect my bloodline. Let nobody crash. Let nobody hit them. Don't let the church go through anything right now. Protect them by the blood of the Lamb. Cleanse them by the blood of the Lamb. All the bloodline that we have. Why? I am conscious of God doing everything. That's what I'm conscious of. The more you read, the more cleaner of a mind you will have. And the pollution of the world begins to leave you. Leave you. So we need to learn how to build ourselves up. A lot of times we want to tear down people. Just tear them down. You're no good. Tear them down. That's not the gospel. When you use the gospel properly, you start building people where they all of a sudden feel like a superhero. You know, when I hear my brother sing the giant back here, I like to study people. I like to study people. Every time he walks out, he's got his little shorts right here. He's got his little shorts right here. And I said, man, that's too much leg you're showing. He never thought he could sing. Maybe he had a feeling that he could sing. But when he gets on that voice, he's rah. Huh? What? Yeah. He wasn't like that when he walked in. He just walked in with his shorts, his t-shirt, and his little wife. And now I see him, I laugh. I mean, I have to. I mean, it's not a bad laughter. It's a good laughter of what God has done in a person's life. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 32. Listen to this. Let me know when it's up there, okay? Okay. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Come on, let's read it together. One more time. Come on. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I don't know about you. I've never had a good inheritance, but I have a good inheritance now. Inheritance is to see and to feel what God is doing for his people. And how he has blessed you. Some of you didn't have nothing. Now you have a lot. You have a lot more than what you ever had 20 years ago. And God's blessed you. Yes, God uses your talent. God uses all those things. But it was God that was building you up to bless you in 20 years, in 15 years, in 16 years, in 56 years. A lot of blessings coming. Come on, say with me. There's a lot of blessings coming my way. Come on, God is timeless. He doesn't think like you and I. He thinks timeless. Timeless. He goes beyond the box. He already sees what he sees when you decided that, hey, I'm going to let the word of God abide in me, and I'm going to let it build me up. When the devil tries to tear me up, the word of God said, no, I've been built up. I got my inheritance, and I live among sanctified people. Come on, you can clap. You can do better than that. Yeah, you can do better than that. Because listen, we were thrown down by sin. We were messed up by sin, but the Lord picked us up and built us up again. And his word gets engrafted inside of you, begins to take over you. You don't think the way you used to think. I see a lot of you, you don't think the way you used to think. You're different now. You started with baby shoes. Remember your little baby shoes? The little boots you used to have, da-da, mama. The little chunk like you had, mama. But now you're growing. Now you got real shoes on. You got the gospel shoes on. You're not begging no more. You have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. He has sanctified you. Sanctified you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are our husbandry, and you are God's building. Come on, read it with 1, 2, 3. For we are laborers together with God, and you are. All right. We'll take that as a green light, okay? So, God builds you up. And then he calls you a laborer together. Together we are laboring. You're not divided. You're laboring together to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. I always look at me this way. I see myself like in the book of, in the Old Testament, in Joel. It talks about the crickets. And I used to think that those crickets in the desert used to fly. And I found out, no. The crickets were there. They're a different type of cricket. And they're big. But they're there, listen to me, masses of them. And they're waiting for one thing. They depend on God's blessing. When the wind blows, they hear the wind, and then they open up their wings. And guess what happens to them? All of them get taken by the wind. And then they're all moving at the same time, and wherever God decides to put them, boom, he drops them. And they start laboring together. I said they start laboring together. I believe Living Word, listen to me. I believe Living Word, we have been primed for a long time. But God is about to pick us up with the wind of the Holy Spirit. And there's something brand new that is about to happen. And we're going to see it. And the people that we haven't seen in a long time, they're going to fly back. Something supernatural is about to brew. It's already brewing. So get ready. The Lord is building us up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. Are you with me? Okay. Talking about renewing your mind right now. Is it up there? Okay, we're going to need 20 and 21. Oh, 20 and all the way to 22. Okay, Jason? Are we ready, Jason? Okay. Everybody together. And are built up on the foundations of the apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. 21. In whom all the building together, growing unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are built together in a habitation of God through the Spirit. So who picked you up? The Spirit picked you up. And here we are in a habitation together, being built up by his Spirit. Amen. By his Spirit. Say with me this morning, I am not dead. I am alive. Because Christ Jesus paid with his blood and gave me his Spirit. And today I stand in the power and in the presence of God. So you're not a cucaracha no more. You're not a little tiny speck of something. You are a child of the living God that he has picked you up in his habitation. In his habitation. In his habitation. Uh-huh. So that's some powerful stuff. I could stay there all day, but I ain't got all day. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. I just want to get along. Let's look at this. And he gave us some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Listen to this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice these are gifts. And he gave us some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints and for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I don't live in a sin nature no more, a sin conscience. I live in a godly conscience. When I look at the apostle, I look at him as a man of God. When I look at him as a pastor, I look at him as a man of God. When I look at his evangelist, as a man of God. I don't put him down. I just look at them. If God sees their faults, that's here. I'm just allowing them to perfect me and to build me, to make me better. So that's why we honor them, because God says that they perfect us. They perfect us. How many here have ever sat down and, man, you came not even crazy, but all of a sudden, a couple of words, and all of a sudden, something changed in your whole mind. Like the blood this morning, it just changed everything. So we have to allow God to edify us, edify us, edify us. By Christ Himself, edify us. The only reason why we sometimes go astray is because we allow the enemy to use condemnation, fear against us. Condemnation because we made a mistake. Listen to me. Everybody's going to make mistakes. The main thing is to throw them in the trash when you make a mistake. That's why your computer has trash can. You just click it, and boom, goes into the trash. That's why all of you have flush, a toilet. You flush it. Amen. Well, it's time to flush everything that the devil is because it's nothing but sewerish. Come on, somebody. And that's where the devil always tries to defeat us. Say with me, I've been born again. My sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future. Now, notice what you said, and I don't even know that you realize what you just said. Okay, He saved us, right? About the past, present, and future. We're going from past, present, future. Why? Because He paid a debt that nobody could pay. Come here, Bishop. Let's sit here. Come here, Bishop. Okay. Let me just finish with this. You got to see it. Once you see this, it's going to change your mind. Okay. This is Ryan. He is a businessman. He did pretty good for a while, but then he had to borrow money. He borrowed $100,000, and he said that he would pay it back with interest. Well, he couldn't pay it back. He could not pay it back. So now he owes, sometimes he owes $150,000, and he can't pay it. So here's the man right here that lent him the money. So if he lend you the money and it's been years, you can't even look at him no more. You hide from him. How many have ever hidden from somebody you owed money? Right? Okay. Victor, come here, Victor. And here comes Victor, okay? Victor has just sold this amazing product that makes you young. He became the first billionaire. He says, nice, billionaire. And he has a heart for people. So he gives me a check for Ryan for $10 million. Pays way above of what he owes. And I said, thank you, I'll give it to him. Okay? So I come over here to Ryan, and then you can go back. He flew back because he was so busy, the phone calls came and he flew back. Okay, he flew back. So then I'm the person here. So I say to Ryan, there was a man here that doesn't want you to know his name. He just gave you, what did I say?
10
million. 10 million. And he said that to pay your debt and to pay him $150,000. And now you have how much? And you're happy. Okay. All right. He could have never paid it off. Jesus paid a debt. that you could never pay. But he paid it for you by dying on the cross for you. And you can never, or I can never, pay it back. That's how rich salvation is. Thank you, brothers. You're a good guy, too. Now get it. You cannot pay it back. Let me say it again. You cannot pay it back. He gave you his grace. He gave you his grace. You can never pay it back. Never, 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 never. And he did it past, present, and future. He didn't come to do, he did some things to the devil, but Jesus sent his only, God sent his only son to do this for us. Can you handle that? He gave his own son in order to redeem us again. Redeem us. Did we need redeeming? Yeah. Did we know we needed redeeming? Some of us didn't know. But he redeemed us. And he says, you can't pay it back. Woo! That's what he said. You can't pay it back. Past, present, future. You can't pay it back. I don't know about you. I serve a good God. I serve a good God. A good God. So am I going to face trials? Am I going to face temptations? Am I going to feel guilty sometimes? I'm going to feel this. Yeah, but he paid the price. I'm going to be able to say, God, you paid the price. I thank you. Forgive me. I made a mistake. The enemy came against me. I made a mistake, but I'm okay now. Because of the blood, because of your, you paid it all for me. Paid it all for me. That makes me like a king, man. That changes everything the way I used to think. I am not under bondage. I'm not under chains. I've been delivered. Praise the Lord. Do you get the picture? I mean, aren't you happy you're saved? How many of you have made mistakes and God forgave you? Only a few of you. The rest, I don't know. How many here have been forgiven for much? Let me see those hands. Huh? Oh, yeah. So I'm not going to walk like this no more. No, 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 no. He paid the debt that I could never pay. But I'm going to just ask Jesus, forgive me. I'm learning, and I made mistakes. And the blood's right there, and his grace is right there. And there are three that bear witness in heaven, the blood, the water, and the Spirit. When they stabbed him on the side, the water that gushed out, they're still bearing witness to God the Father. He did it. He did it. Stand to your feet real quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.